Well, turn with me, if you will, over to the book of 1 Thessalonians today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Just one verse today, although I'll be looking at a lot of different other verses. But that's the one we're going to key on this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Obviously, this Thursday is Thanksgiving, and you know, it kind of seems like things have crept up on us because of the craziness of our time, and it seems like everything should be not here yet, but it is. And I hope that in spite of everything going on, you're still excited about Thanksgiving, getting together with your families and things like that. But, you know, when I was a kid, I very stupidly did not pay attention to history very much. And when you get older, the more you realize how much of a knucklehead you were as a kid. And you look at history and understand its importance, and you look at the history of Thanksgiving. And way back in 1779, our very first president, George Washington, issued the very first Thanksgiving proclamation. And I want to read part of that to you this morning. And as you listen to these words, sometimes it's hard to read how they wrote back then because we don't talk like that anymore. But in part, this is what he said. He said, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. Whereas both the houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend next to be devoted by the people of the states to the service of the great and glorious being who is the benefit author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country." And so that was the very first Thanksgiving proclamation made by George Washington in 1779. Well, this coming Thursday, obviously, as I said, is Thanksgiving, and things are not the way that we want them to be. Nobody likes the time that we're in now. Let me just say, and I think we all agree, COVID really stinks, and it messes up everything, and we're all really tired of it. And so things are not ideal right now, and in the midst of what we're going through, we might even say, you know what? I don't feel very thankful. I don't feel like being thankful. I don't feel like giving thanks to God. And so we understand that every person goes through times in life when it's difficult to be thankful. Every one of us has gone through difficulty. Maybe you're going through difficulty right now. And so we all go through times when it's difficult to be thankful. And in these seasons of life, it's important to discover that even in the midst of trials, that we can be thankful. And so let's read this scripture today, this one scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. That's going to be our theme verse, but I'm going to look at some other scriptures today. But this is what Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, verse 18. He says, "Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we as followers of Jesus, we have hope. We have things to be thankful for, even in the midst of trials. And we should be always about thanking God, giving thanks in everything. And so as we think about the theme of what to do when we don't feel like being thankful, okay, here are some things that we need to remember this coming Thanksgiving, as things are quite different today in 2020. The first thing I want you to understand is, number one, and according to what the scripture says here, scripture commands us to be thankful. Scripture commands us to be thankful, but in addition to that, but that doesn't always make it easy, okay? Scripture commands us to be thankful, but that doesn't make it easy. Along with the scripture that I just read, and you can jot this down for, you can look at it later, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul said, "In whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through him." So he said, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it in an attitude of thanksgiving. And let me just say, it's difficult, and we understand this, to give thanks when we're discouraged. It's hard to have a thankful heart when we're going through tough times, when the stresses and trials of life consume us, they consume our minds, when temptations are going on. Sometimes we give into that and we're sinful. We give into that sin, or we're overcoming grief, crushes our spirit. It's hard to be thankful. And David, remember David? In the book of Psalms, David, one of the greatest kings of Israel, I think we probably would all agree that he experienced a lot of trials, didn't he? I mean, think about this. Much of his life was spent fleeing from his enemies, whether it was King Saul, who considered him a political threat, or surrounding nations who feared him as a great warrior, or even his own son, Absalom, who led a revolt and tried to steal the throne. He was on the run for his life in many instances, And in this last instance, David was forced to flee from his palace with only a handful of men who remained loyal to him. And scripture says in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 15 that David ascended to the Mount of Olives weeping and barefoot, with his head covered, and yet in the midst of his grief and the midst of his affliction, when he reached this top of the mountain, the Bible says that David worshiped God. That he worshiped God. The thing that made David a great man of godly character was that he continually, listen to this, he continually turned to the Lord in times of difficulty. He continually turned to the Lord in times of difficulty. If you go to read through the book of Psalms, many of his psalms that he wrote were written in times of trial. When he was on the run for his life, questioning, God, where are you? I'm going through all this stuff. Where are you? But nonetheless, I will trust in your unfailing love. David pours out his grief and his pain and distress, and then he turns his gaze upward in trust to the God who is in control and cared for him. Think about the life of Job. It's a character we talk a lot about. He was a godly man, the Bible says, had a lot of wealth, a lot of status, but there was a time in his life when God allowed his possessions and his children and his health to all be taken away from him. And in the midst of Job's great sorrow and pain, the Bible says his body was afflicted with painful sores all over his body. And yet, when his family said, or his friends said, and his wife said, curse God and die, he would not do that. He didn't blame God. He didn't curse God. Instead, the Bible says that he responded by falling down to the ground and worshiping God. Job 1, 20 and 21 says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so we understand that as Scripture commands us to be thankful, it's not always easy. We can look to the life of David. We can look to the life of Job and understand that we go through circumstances in our life. But even in the midst of great pain and sorrow and agony and trial, these great men of the faith still worshiped the Lord. They fell to the ground and they worshiped the Lord. And I'm thinking, if David can do that and if Job can do that, then I can do that, because my troubles are not as great as theirs, really. And so in the midst of my difficulty, in the midst of my pain, I can still be thankful and I can worship the Lord despite my circumstances. So Scripture commands us to be thankful, even though it's not always easy. But here's the next question, really the gist of what I want to talk about this morning as we think about being thankful when we don't feel like it. So here's the question, what should I do when I don't feel like being thankful? Because that happens, not just right now in the midst of a pandemic, but there are other times in our life when we just don't feel like being thankful. So what do we do? Well, here's the first thing. Trust that God is in control. Amen? Trust that God is in control. Remember what Paul wrote in Romans 8:28? A great verse that we use all the time and we should use because it's the truth. But he said, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Notice what he said. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You know, this verse should give us hope in the midst of difficulty because it says that God causes all things to work together for good. Not just some things, not just a few things dispersed here and there, but God causes all things to work together for good because God wants to use each thing that comes into a believer's life so that he can fit it all together for good. And so we have to trust in God in that way. Listen, we have to understand that God has a purpose and a plan for each believer. Whether we realize it or not, if you are a blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ, you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, his Spirit lives inside of you, God has a purpose for your life. And he has a purpose for my life. He has a purpose for every believer. And the believer who loves God can trust in him in the midst of a trial, knowing that ultimately God is in control. And the purpose of trials is to make the believer more Christ-like. The result of trials and testing is so that the believer might be purified of all these things in our life, and so that we can, our lives can be like purified like gold to the glory of God. I like what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:7, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes through refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, I think the biggest thing we have to do is when we're going through difficulty and we don't feel like being thankful, is trust that God is in control. We've often said that God always has our best interest at heart. And even though we might not understand what we're going through or why we're going through it, God can use it for his glory and honor. You know, we only see right now. Okay, we can think back in the past and have memories of God's provision, but we can't see into the future. And so a lot of times we just focus on the here and now. Lord, why am I going through this? This is difficult. I didn't sign up for this. This is not what I thought would happen when I wanted to follow you and be for you to be my Lord and Savior. But through it all, we have to trust that God is in control. So that's the first thing that we should do when we don't feel like being thankful. Secondly, and here's a big one, guys, and it's something we all need to work on and something that we all struggle with. The second thing we should do is to try to be content with what we have. Try to be content with what we have. You know, I believe that sometimes the lack of feeling thankful comes from simply not having what we think we need or what we deserve. How many times do we see somebody being blessed in a certain way and we think, they don't deserve that, I do. That should have happened to me, not to them. And so we get well up within us this spirit of being discontent, and we have this we're not going to be thankful for what we do have because we are not content with what we do have, what God has blessed us with. Because we don't have what we think we need or what we deserve. And listen, guys, it's not just children that throw fits. Adults do that too. We may not kick the floor and cry and scream and pout and all that stuff. We have more civilized ways to throw fits, right? Okay? But we still do it just the same. Our discontentment a lot of times is expressed through displeasure, perhaps worrying, complaining, being moody, or being angry. Those are all outward manifestations of us throwing a tantrum, if you will. And guys, let me just say that each of those things is a sin. They don't please God. They don't please the Lord. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, he said, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. Think about the life of Paul and what he went through in life. Many of his letters that he wrote that we have in the New Testament were written from prison. Paul wrote these words as he sat under arrest for his preaching of the gospel, and he goes on to recount in that passage some of the situations that he experienced, including being hungry or filled and being humiliated and having blessings and different things like that and suffering. In each of these situations, he said, I've learned to be content. If Paul can learn to be content spending a night and day in the open sea, being what does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians, that he was beaten with rods, that how many times he was whipped with the 40 lashes minus one? You know, they said 40 lashes would kill a man. I think three times he was whipped, 39 times, to the point of being dead. And if Paul can say, I can be content in all those things, my little measly problems are really nothing. And that's why Paul could say, I've been content in whatever circumstances I'm in. Paul was not content in his own strength, but through Christ who had strengthened him. Paul could choose to be thankful and content even when his needs were not being met. We should do the same as well. Let me ask you a question. Do we really believe that God loves us, and as a loving Father, He wants to give what is best for us? Do we really believe that? You know, God is not some tyrant that sits in heaven and tries to make our lives miserable. I think sometimes there's some people have that attitude, you know, God's just playing with us, you know? He's just trying to make us miserable. You know, sometimes, you know, with our own children, you know, when your kids have to get in trouble and you have to discipline your kids and they question you about it, you will, and it's almost like, you know, you let so-and-so get away with this, but you don't let me get away with anything, you know? And we used to say, you know, your mom and I don't sit in our room at night and plot how we can be unfair to the kids, okay? We don't sit at home at night thinking, okay, what can we do to say to this child, it's okay, but this child is not, you know? That's just not the way it works. But sometimes we're like that. Paul was content. And God is not a tyrant who tries to make our lives miserable. And Scripture describes him as a loving father who delights to give good gifts to his children. Go back and read Luke 11, 13 and James 1, 17. Do we really trust him? The Bible says in Hebrews 13, 5, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Man, that's a great promise. Amen? And one of the greatest reasons we can be content is that Jesus promises to never leave us, to never forsake us. And even though our earthly desires, we may not have everything that we think we want, and we go through difficulty and trials, we can be rest assured that we are not alone. That God himself, through his son Jesus Christ, is with us every step of the way. So that's the second reason we can be thankful, or how to be thankful when we don't feel like being thankful, is be content with what we have. And then, and the third thing, do it anyway. Okay? If you don't feel like being thankful, do it anyway. Since when are we controlled by our feelings? Think about your feelings for a second. Feelings, in and of themselves, are not necessarily wrong. They are a natural response to situations that we face, situations that are surrounding us. Feelings often, however, are an indicator, though, of where our heart is. And we have to understand that. The danger is when those feelings give rise to sinful thoughts or discontentment or worry or expressed in words of complaining, it gets to be the wrong thing. And I like what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10:5. he was saying, and Scripture commands us as believers, and this is what Paul wrote, to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Guys, here's the thing. Here's a big statement. We as believers in Jesus Christ, Christians, followers of Christ, we are responsible to respond by thinking biblically and acting biblically, even if it goes against our feelings. So even if we don't feel like being thankful, we should do it anyway. And we should think in biblical terms, not in, oh, woe is me, I'm poor me, I didn't get what I wanted terms. Because feelings are fickle, right? One minute you're happy, the next minute you're so mad you want to just wring somebody's neck. And that's why feelings are fickle. We have to choose not to focus on the trials or difficulties surrounding us. Instead, look upward to God who is in control and remember that He loves us. And then make an effort to give thanks. Make a list of the blessings that God has given and focus on those things. Choose to take all those other thoughts captive, even if that's something that you have to do moment by moment. Even though it might be a struggle. Guys, it takes a lot of effort to go against our feelings. It's a choice, if you will. But you know, if Jesus is your Savior, His Spirit lives inside of you, that means you're indwelt with the Spirit of God. He can help you overcome that. And so keep looking upward to Jesus. And maybe you should. In your life, if you're going through a time right now where you're pretty discontent and pretty focused on self and pretty bummed out and your feelings are getting the best of you, maybe you should go get a piece of paper or a journal or something and write down all the blessings in your life and focus on those. Remember that hymn we used to sing, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One? Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Sometimes we just have to write them down and look at them and be reminded. I would envision to say if you took about 10 minutes to sit down and write down the blessings, you're not going to have enough time to write them all down. And to do that each and every day, man, that changes your perspective. It really does. So what do? If you don't feel like being thankful, do it anyway. Make yourself do it. Like my mom used to say, suck it up. Do it anyway. I don't care how you feel. You know, our kids used to say, we tell them to do something. Why do I have to do that? Well, number one, because I said so, and that's a pretty good reason. Number two, if you want to know the reason, then I'll tell you the reason why. Here it is. I don't care what your feelings say. You're going to do it anyway because I'm your boss, you know? Well, sometimes we have to do things that we don't feel like. If we only did what we felt like doing, we wouldn't go to work, we wouldn't go to school, we'd sit around and watch TV all day and get, you know, lazy and you know, discontent and all this stuff, and that's no good. So we have to do what we don't feel like doing. Get up, fix dinner for the kids, clean the house, pay our bills, do the stuff that we have to do, normal life stuff. And we do it even though we don't feel like it, but we do it because it's the right thing to do. Well, the same is true about thanking God. Do it anyway. As I close this morning, I want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 again. That verse that we started with, Paul says, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice something here. Notice that Paul didn't say give thanks for everything. He said, give thanks in everything. It's a big difference. When bad things happen, I don't think we necessarily have to be thankful for them. But in the midst of difficulty, we can still be thankful for God's presence and know that He will help us to deal with it. And guys, we should be thankful because God is worthy of our thanksgiving. Amen? It's only right to credit Him for the gifts and the blessings that He gives us. When we're thankful, what happens? The focus is off of us and it's on the Lord. Our focus moves off of selfish desires, off the pain of the current circumstance, and puts it where it needs to be. And expressing thankfulness helps us remember that ultimately God is in control. So thankfulness then is not only appropriate, it's actually healthy and it's beneficial to us. And it reminds us of the bigger picture, that we all belong to God, that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, that we have an abundant life, that we're full of grace, we've been forgiven, we have a home in heaven when we die, and we're going to be with Him forever and ever. And that's something to look forward to. Amen. There are days in my life, and I'm sure you have them too, and you say, today, Lord, would be a day for You to come back. We all have those days. But you know what? In the meantime, we keep plugging away, serving the Lord, thanking Him for our blessings, and doing what we've been called to do. And one day we will be with Him forever. And what a day that will be when we see Jesus for the first time. So look forward to that. In the meantime, let's be thankful. Let's be a thankful people. And not just on the fourth Thursday of November. Thanksgiving Day should be every day. Amen? All right. Father, we thank You today for Your grace and mercy, Your love, Your forgiveness. Father, for these wonderful scriptures that we've read today that remind us that we need to be thankful even when we don't feel like it. Father, we do take captive every thought and desire and feeling that comes our way, and we put it in Your control. Father, we thank You for the blessing that it is to serve You and serve others, to be a part of this wonderful church. Father, just be glorified now as we sing this song of praise to You, this hymn of commitment, Lord. Be glorified in our lives. And we ask all this in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus. And we pray together. Amen. So Andrew's going to lead us in a song of commitment. And perhaps this morning the Lord has spoken to you about a decision that you need to make. It's a commitment that you can make right there where you are as we sing this song. Make that commitment to the Lord. Beyond that, if you need to talk with me further this week, please get a hold of me. Get in touch with me. We'll talk, work it out, pray together. Do what needs to be done to help you get through your circumstance of life. But as we sing the song of praise, you make your decision for the Lord today. Let's stand together as Andrew leads us. You make your decision for Christ today.